Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you are here with us. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas in here with you this morning, getting you to work or school or wherever you're heading. And we still got lots to get to this morning. We're going to talk to Andrew Jones coming up. He is running for mayor in the city of St. Louis. There are some stunning new poll results out in that city mayor's race, which I think is probably causing some shockwaves in the city. And we'll talk to Andrew Jones about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Be sure and stay tuned for that. Over the weekend, there was another vote. There was a vote for the head of the Missouri GOP. We've been talking about that a little bit this morning. Peter Kinder got elected as the head of the Missouri Republican Party moving forward here. And I know the man who was also running is my friend, former Senator Bill Igel. We've got him on the phone with us this morning. Bill, welcome in.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me. I got to tell you, I'm excited to hear about the polling for Andrew Jones as well. I hope it's good news.
Well, you know, Andrew is not doing especially well in the polling, but Tashara Jones has plummeted in the polling for this mayor's race. I mean, I think it's really, the numbers are shocking. Kara Spencer's numbers are through the roof, and I don't know if it's because they blew the snow removal. I mean, I don't think the timing of that was a good thing for her, but there's a lot going on in that race.
Yeah, you know, hopefully the people of the city of St. Louis will realize that just cycling one Democrat after another is not the way to go, and maybe give somebody like Andrew Jones a chance to actually chart a new course for the city. They could use it.
Amen. Some new ideas for sure. I hope people are paying attention to what's going on. You just never know. Let's talk about your situation. I know that the race was close this weekend for a Missouri GOP leader, and I know that I was supporting you, your bid for that, because I think it would have been fantastic to have some new ideas in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and honestly, you know, that was an interesting race, and I am humbled, and I appreciate so much the support that I got from the state committee members that reach out to me and encourage me to stand for that nomination. And there was, as you can tell, there was a lot of folks that were really supporting me, and I was happy to do that. I would have been excited about that, but I would tell you that I think the party is in pretty good hands with Peter Kinder. You know, Peter Kinder deserves a lot of credit. He has been leading the party and been a part of Missouri Republican politics for a long time. So I'm praying for him, and I'm hoping that he's going to be doing all the things that I think the party really has an opportunity to do. But, you know, ultimately, my focus is now turning elsewhere.
I've heard that rumor, in fact. So do you have a bit of an announcement for us this morning?
I am very comfortable telling you this and all your listening audience this morning that it's time for me to come home. And what that means for me is I'm coming back to the place that has supported me consistently for more than a decade through 3 different races, twice for state Senate and once for governor. They also supported me. That's the people of St. Charles County. And it's my intention over these coming weeks to set up the infrastructure and begin a conversation once again with the people of St. Charles County and ask them if they would entrust me to be the next county executive of the 3rd largest county in the state of Missouri.
Yeah.
Congratulations for throwing your name in the hat. Obviously, Mark and I both live in St. Charles County, and I would love to see that. So you have my support. You know, what would your big priorities be? What are some of the changes that you think need to be made in St. Charles County specifically?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to continue doing the things that have made St. Charles County successful in the first place. I mean, there's a reason that St. Charles County is the fastest growing county in the state. We have a low tax, low regulation environment. We have done a very good job keeping crime under control, making sure our neighborhoods are safe. We are committed to our first responders. I can assure every person in St. Charles County that we're going to continue doing those things that have made St. Charles County the place to be for the past generation in the state. That's the first thing. The second thing is, though, we need, you know, St. Charles County's role in state politics is only getting bigger. We've grown so much that we are now playing an outsized role in Jefferson City, statewide and even regionally beyond the state borders. And so we need an advocate. We need an advocate down in Jefferson City that's going to push for the funds that we need for to address unique challenges that St. Charles County has. For example, the what I like to call the Wentzville Strangler. That's the traffic jam that we all get caught in on 40 and 70. That is the number one traffic bottleneck anywhere in the state of Missouri, anywhere in the state of Missouri. So I can tell you that I'm going to be working, whether it's with our new governor or the legislature, to make sure that is moving along, because we face challenges because of all our population growth that you just don't see elsewhere in the state. I think how we grow is important as well. You know, there's even though we're seeing so many folks want to come to St. Charles County, there not all of the communities in St. Charles County want to have all that growth. So we're going to try to continue to play a careful dance between some of the areas along the I-70 corridor, which I think makes sense for new homes to be built. But there's going to be other areas of the county that I don't think make as much sense. You get down in the southwestern portions of the county, they like to spread out a little bit more, and that's good. That's what makes St. Charles County so unique. So we've got some challenges. We're going to continue to do the things that made us successful, but we're going to continue to lead this state from a bold conservative perspective, and I'd be humbled if the people of St. Charles entrusted me to do that.
So you've got about a year till that election, right?
I got time.
Yeah,
I do. I've got some time. So what I'm going to be focusing on is reaching out to the folks that have supported me here in St. Charles County, having one-on-one conversations. Obviously, we're far away from the main parts of the campaign, but this is a big, important regional position, and already folks are coming forward. Other folks are raising money. They're going out there getting things, trying to build their apparatus. So this is something that's got to start today.
You know, I'm sure your truck is glad to hear this, Bill, after how many miles you put on it during the governor's race.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think my wife is happy to hear that. So that I don't have to spend time driving all over the state. We're going to be spending a lot more time here at home here in St. Charles County, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, congratulations of former Senator Bill Igel throwing his hat in the ring there for St. Charles County Executive. Bill, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Anytime, guys. We'll talk to you guys real soon.
Talk to you again very soon. Appreciate that. Wanted to get Bill on here this morning. We tried to get him on Friday, and that didn't work out. So I wanted to let him have a chance to come on this morning and make that announcement. So you'll be hearing a lot more, I'm sure, from him over the coming months. Mike Ela, who is often who fills in here very often for Annie and Mark Reardon, is also running for that position. So it's going to be interesting. We've got a couple of big names because he's already on the county council, Elam is, and I believe he just got elected chair of the St. Charles County Council.
Yeah, he did. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it looks like at least those are the only two I know of that are declared candidates for that position at this point. All right, coming up, we'll get to Real or Fake. Where Carl Middleman will answer some really key questions for us this morning that we were not allowed to Google earlier.
No.
And Andrew Jones, the Republican running for mayor in the city of St. Louis, where, hey, you have a chance here, folks, to get some real change and some new ideas in city politics. We'll get to Andrew Jones at about 7:35. Stay tuned.
71 FM Talk Podcast.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the Real or Fake News quiz, where every Monday around this time, I, Carl, tell the people in the studio headlines. And today, Kim, Ethan, and Mark are going to tell me if they are real or fake.
I blew it last week. Bigly. Big time, Kim. We'll let Matthew win. Matthew crushed it. He didn't miss a single answer.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
And then, of course, we started this. Kim, you were not here. The winner gets to pick the music for that Friday. And then I asked Matthew about this.
You originally said Monday. We switched that to Friday.
Monday. Yeah.
Yes.
Not my choice. But Matthew never sent any music in.
Oh, all right.
And I asked him,
fail.
And that's his fault. Yeah. So, Kim, now there are steaks.
I'm just thinking steak, yeah. Like a juicy
steak. A steak dinner, yeah.
I like mine medium rare, please.
That's the steak we want. Yeah.
I'm not, no. But since you were not here last week, and the person that sat in your chair, you get to go first.
Joy.
And it's all about the big game.
Nice.
Super Bowl licks. L-I-X.
Ah, nice. Okay.
59. So, Kim St. Ange, Super Bowl games and festivities go hand in hand with food and drink, making it the highest food consumption date in the United States. Real or fake?
I know the amount of wings people eat on the Super Bowl is the most wings out of the year, so I'll just say for that reason that's real.
Ethan Bright.
I have questions that I'm not going to ask, but I'll ask later. I'm going to say real as well.
I'll say fake.
It's fake. You people forgetting about
Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking.
About Thanksgiving.
All right.
That's not what I told you. Ethan Bright, real or fake, 4,000 fans were surveyed by casino.com, and some of them were in Missouri. Missouri's favorite beer is Bud Light. Real or fake is their second favorite beer, Modelo. Real or fake?
So you said their first one is...
The first one is Bud Light.
Bud Light is...
That's what I didn't want you guys looking up.
Okay.
And then I figured out if you did, I would find out what the second one was because I don't trust you people.
All right, you don't.
Okay. I'm going to go fake.
Mark Cox, is Modelo the number two beer in Missouri? Real or fake?
I'll say fake.
I'll say real.
It's fake. It's Michelob Ultra.
Ultra, yep.
I thought for sure it was Bud Select.
Followed by Budweiser Heavy.
Bud, oh yeah, nice. See, that makes sense for Missouri.
Mark Cox, real or fake, Missourians spend about $50 on beer for the Super Bowl.
Real on or fake? Average?
Average.
In the state of Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go fake on that.
Kim saying
that. That seems a little high.
It seems high. Fake.
I'm going to go real.
It's fake. It's actually 61.
I would assume for people hosting a Super Bowl party or something.
Right.
Because a 12-pack's not going to cost you that much. Who's sitting down to drink a 12-pack on...
Unless you buy them at the stadium.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kim St. Ange, we talked about buffalo wings. Those are the number one. And including in Missouri, they're the number one favorite snack. But real or fake, queso dip is the number one Super Bowl dip in the state of Missouri.
Fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go fake.
Mark Cox.
I'm sorry, I'd like to disagree with these two, but I think that's fake as well.
It's real.
Really?
Buffalo chicken dip is second.
Huh.
But queso, I mean, it's just... Oh, there's one. Melt
wow,
some
we all missed that one. Okay.
I'm doing awesome, by the way.
You and Mark are actually tied. Kim has not gotten a single one right. All right. Real or fake, Ethan Bright, some Super Bowls have featured rematches, including this year. There have been 8 Super Bowl rematches. This is year 59.
Sure. Let's go real.
Mark Cox, real or fake?
I'll go real.
Kim St. Ange.
I didn't listen to the question because I was thinking about the fact that I think I did get one right. I'm just saying.
I don't even know what the question was because I
was just thinking about how you got that incorrect.
All right.
That's fake news that I have not gotten any correct. Back to what you asked, since I don't remember what it was, I'll say.
Real or fake, have there been 8 Super Bowl rematches, including this year?
Sure. Real.
That is real.
It is real. All right.
This happens. See, now Kim has 2 right.
Thank you.
And Mark and Ethan both have 3 right. Mark Cox, real or fake, the first Super Bowl was not called the Super Bowl. Real or fake?
The way you're saying that is weird. Like, if you said the first football championship was not called the Super Bowl, I would say that's real. But if it was the first Super Bowl, it would have been called the first Super Bowl. I think you're tricking me there. I'm gonna say that's fake.
I like Mark's logic. I'll say fake.
Yeah, I was gonna go with it too. Fake.
It's real.
No.
Because they started calling it the Super Bowl, Super Bowl III. So it was the AFC-NFC Championship back then, but they are retroactively called the Super Bowl now.
Okay.
So it's they were the Super Bowl, but they just didn't call it that because they started calling
it the
Super
Bowl.
I
know how you work. I'm starting to figure out how your brain works.
Three.
Uh-huh.
Kim St. Ange, Super Bowl winners get $83,000. The losers get nothing, real or fake?
The fake?
Ethan Bright.
I believe it's fake.
Mark Cox.
I believe that's fake.
That is correct. It is fake. The losers gets $42,000.
Okay, half?
Each, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Right about half. All right, let me see. Where am I here? And who's up? Oh, Ethan Bright. Ethan Bright.
Yes.
Real or fake, typically the Super Bowl uses less than 100 balls in a game. Real or fake?
I'm going to say that is real. Less than, yes, real.
I'm going with real.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say fake.
It is fake. They use approximately 120. Each team gets 54 balls, and they take them randomly. Usually, you're thinking about the kicking. When there's a whole bunch of kicking, those balls get tossed.
Hmm.
So like punt or extra point or
anything. They just throw them away when they're done?
They don't reuse them. They're only used for like a play or two.
Who knew? I did not know that.
I did. That's why I'm telling you. Mark Cox, real or fake? Oh, by the way, all three of you are tied now.
Oh, great.
Of course.
Great. All right, no pressure. We're
real
almost done.
Real or fake, Mark Cox, every player in the big game gets a loaner car to drive around the host city leading up to Super Bowl Sunday. Real or fake?
I'm going to go with fake on that.
Sounds weird enough to be real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go fake.
It is real.
Oh,
and coming from behind. Winning. Kim St. Ange comes from behind to take the victory.
So every single player, whether they play or not, gets a car to drive around New Orleans.
They used to be Cadillacs. I'm not sure if they are this year, but they get like Escalades and they get to drive around.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So they all come to the
arena. What a waste of money.
I know. Like, now
I
you know where all your money's
going.
They got
picked up on like a shuttle.
Yeah,
like
me too.
Fancy shuttle.
Like they get bussed in.
Right. Team building.
All right.
Kim, you get to pick the music.
Congratulations, Kim. No Kendrick Lamar, please.
We'll see.
All right, coming up, Andrew Jones is going to join us. He is running for mayor in the city of St. Louis, and there's some new polling out that might be quite a shock for the current mayor of the city of St. Louis. We'll be back in just a minute. A little bit of high drama in the Board of Aldermen this past week, if you were paying any attention to the local news. The Board of Aldermen President Megan Green stormed out of the meeting on Friday. They're trying to pass a bill to hand out cash from the Rams settlement, and they just can't get an agreement on it. And she was a little angry about that, I guess, and made allegations she shouldn't have. And now they've got to reconvene tomorrow and see if they can hammer this out. It's a bit of a mess. And it's easy to see why having a fresh voice in all of that would make a lot of sense. We've got Andrew Jones with us right now. We've had him on the show before. He is a candidate this year for mayor in the city of St. Louis. And Mr. Jones, welcome back.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. When you see things that are happening like this, and you know you've been an observer of City Hall politics for a long time now, does it make you shake your head?
Boy, it absolutely does. When you look at what happened here recently, and I'm not even looking at what happens recently, I'm looking historically at what has happened. People down there have shown their level of incompetence. It's a shame, and we have to do better because we're looking at a windfall amount of money. It comes once in a lifetime that you win a lawsuit like this, and we're banking the existence of St. Louis on a windfall amount when we should be looking at things to try to drive the city to have permanent infrastructure development.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. I've said it before. It's almost like winning the lottery. They won a huge chunk of money if you spend it to create new giveaway programs, what happens when the money runs out?
And that's exactly what the issue is. I don't understand how you can base your whole entire budget off of ORAM settlement money. And this shows the type of thinking, the incompetence I'm submitting, and lack of thinking that goes on, that is the reason why we don't get anything done.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, there's some new polling out, Andrew, and I'm sure you've seen it. It was on Channel 5. And it shows that you know, Mayor Jones' support has dropped significantly. It's probably good news for one of your opponents, Kara Spencer, whose numbers are up higher. There is ranked choice voting effectively in the city now. Where do you see your opportunity here? Because, you know, people, you've run before. You've thrown your ideas out there before. How do you get the attention of these voters in the city?
Well, we have to stay vigilant and showing up at places, talking with people, exercising the multimedia functions, because those seem to be the dynamic things that get people involved. And that's generally what we have to do at this particular point in time, and just be vigilant in getting the name out there and the word out there. Because our message resonates, it makes sense, but people just don't hear it enough. But we're fighting forces of a lack of money, but we are steadily pushing things, and I'm utilizing my money until hopefully we can get to this second round. And if we get to the second round, we believe that that's when money will come. People will see that the election is winnable.
Yes.
You would think that people here in the city would see how big of an epic failure the current administration's policies have been, the impact that's had, or lack of impact maybe, on the police department, with how many officers were still short. They've just now cut some of those positions with no plans to replace them. You would think these residents would think, gee, you know, what they're doing isn't working. Maybe we should try a conservative one time and just see if that maybe makes a difference. Do you think there will ever come a time like that? Because certainly anyone like you who would have the Republican name on the ticket, it's going to be an uphill battle in such a liberal area like St. Louis City.
Well, they use the Republican banner for those who are new voters, but this is supposed to be nonpartisan.
Right.
But it shows you that they have to throw my name in as a Republican to try to sully my name, because people, when they do hear the message, it resonates. It really resonates. And as far as being a Republican, it makes sense that what you're saying, and I need to have you as my campaign manager, because yeah, it absolutely made sense, that we are about fair opportunity for all the people. And we're talking about thinking things through where we will get results that impact the city of St. Louis in a positive way. And we can certainly do something about the number one thing that causes concern and consternation with people, is that crime and safety is number one, and it drives everything. But they certainly have a certain hate for police. They have a certain philosophy relative to the police, and when it comes to change, the change is necessary, and I'm the only one that presents that.
Yeah. Andrew Jones, our guest, candidate for mayor in the city of St. Louis, and the election coming up in April. Where do you stand on state control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police?
Well, Kehoe has made it an absolute, and I'll tell you, when you look at me, I looked at when I win, that I have the capacity to change things, and there certainly possibly would not be a need for state control. But I know with Kehoe and what has happened with that particular position from 1800 to 2012-13, when they finally relinquished control to the city has shown a level again of incompetence for over 10 years, and now they're coming saying that we need to take this over because we're in dire straits. We are absolutely in dire straits. And so I'm the only one of everyone who's running who's saying that this is possible. This is probably needed because we have to get safety under control, and the mayor would be involved with it. But it also shows you, if I can extend it just a little bit, Bill 162, it shows that the older people are considering a business administrator. They're doing things all outside of the capacity of the mayor, because the mayor has shown levels of inconsistency. We have Kara, who's been there, part of this whole thing, and Mike Butler, and they say they present change. I'm submitting that they're duping the people, that they don't present change, and we are absolutely embracing change, and because that's absolutely necessary.
Whether or not the state takes over control of the police department, you know, residents are leaving. It's kind of been a mass exodus. All these businesses are leaving, and many of them are citing safety concerns just a couple years after opening. In your mind, what needs to be done? How do we keep people from leaving? How do we continue to encourage businesses to invest here in the city?
Well, if you can recall, Mark, and everyone, and if you can recall, we have presented the very first time we ran for mayor and an exhaustive plan on what needs to be done for the city of St. Louis when it comes to safety. We often say that a fish rots from the head down, and it's leadership, and the mayor has leadership over the police. And we need high-performing police, not reimagining police, not defunding police. We need support for our police. Our men and women in blue do a phenomenal job, and it seems that they are doing everything that they can to drive people from the city of St. Louis. And in addition to that, I think we need to look at the fact that when I ran in 2016, I was the only one that said that we needed to have a comprehensive economic development plan, which will attack all of those areas where we're weak, and we can retain our existing businesses, our existing residents, and we can attract new people in because we've engaged everyone in the process. And that's how you get things done. With police, we'll let them do normal policing. All of the things the police are scheduled to do and need to do are there, but they're not allowed to because of leadership.
Yeah, that's a good point. Andrew Jones making some great points here. Would like to be the next mayor of the city of St. Louis. You know, sometimes these elections swing on last-minute things that happen, and I can't help but to believe that what happened with this snowstorm and the reaction to it, Andrew, hasn't had some impact on the attitude of city residents when it comes to who might be their next elected leader. I mean, this was a major fail on the part of the city for people that live on streets that, in some cases, 5 or 6 days passed, they couldn't get their car off the street.
Yes, and if you really take into consideration what they tried to do, they tried to say it was an unprecedented storm. This wasn't an unprecedented storm. I lived in St. Louis my whole life. We've had a foot of snow, ice. We had all of those things, and we were able to manage through them with very little problems whatsoever. It shows a lack of preparation. It shows a level of incompetence unseen, and they didn't think it through because what they want to do is to tear down the city of St. Louis and possibly start over. But what I'm submitting is that we have someone, I'm representing myself here, we have someone that understands thinking those things through, preparing a comprehensive plan, and you can do this with all the municipalities in the area, those places that are harder hit and people are less hit, and there are a lot of them that were not hit hard. You could utilize them if you had a relationship with those particular cities, and there are a lot of things that you could have done to prepare for this storm, which was a normal storm.
Andrew Jones, running for mayor of the city. Where can people go to find out more about you? I know you've got a Facebook page, right?
Yes, it's AndrewJonesForCongress.com, AndrewJonesForCongress.com. And we'd like to just ask people to consider us, listen to us, if nothing else, and to find the flaws in the program. But what I'm submitting is that you won't find too many flaws. They try to get you with the R, but the R is not an issue in this particular race. It's about competition, and it's about competence and whether or not we can get things to manage itself, because when it comes down to hope, we are the hope for this city of St. Louis. The light at the end of the tunnel is not a train. It's a light of hope and prosperity.
Well, Andrew Jones, we appreciate your time, and best of luck in April.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
Yep, take care of yourself. There you go. Just a reminder, you heard him say Andrew Jones for Congress there. He did try to challenge Cori Bush as well, so he's probably got a website already set up for that run. Why do you keep doing the same thing over and over again is the definition of stupidity. I don't know why this city of St. Louis wouldn't embrace that. And because of the prom king and queen style of voting that you've adopted with ranked choice, People get out there and express their opinions and pick a first, second, and third person that's not Tashara Jones, Andrew Jones might come out in the top two here and have a legitimate shot at mayor of St. Louis. So remember to vote on Election Day. We'll be back with Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
If you were listening this morning around 6:30 or 7:30 when I do headlines, you may have mentioned, you may have rather heard me talking about this protest that was in downtown St. Louis over the weekend. On Saturday, about 1,000 people were marching, ended up at Keener Plaza, but they were marching down Market Street, and they were upset about Trump's immigration policies. And what you may have also seen is that the International Institute of St. Louis has announced a temporary staff furlough that affects more than 60% of its staff.
And I wonder why.
As a result of that, they're saying that the Festival of Nations, which has been going on for more than 100 years here in the city of St. Louis, may come to an end. My take on all of this is that this group, like the International Institute of St. Louis, they are so quick to want to react because they know if they put out a press release saying that we've had to temporarily furlough more than 60% of our people, it automatically triggers that empathy little, you know, part in our brain and our hearts where we think, oh my gosh, this is awful. Look what Trump's doing. And then it becomes toxic empathy and we people get enraged by it. And then they're going out there and protesting. I think this was an impulse decision that was very intentional by the International Institute of St. Louis to get attention and to garner a negative reaction from people, which is exactly what happened. And then, yep, of course, when you want to threaten that a classic St. Louis tradition that so many people love, that's been going on for more than 100 years, the Festival of Nations, the thought of that having to end, which people are going to say is because of Trump, well, that's just going to outrage people even more.
It's exactly why they did it. And I guess my first question would be for the International Institute. If you're furloughing staff, why did you hire illegals to begin with? Might be question number one. What are, if you're afraid of an ICE raid, is that why you furloughed people? Is it because you suddenly have a downturn in business? Is that why you furloughed people? And yes, the International Festival might be a target-rich environment if you're a member of ICE looking for someone to raid or investigate, certainly, but there's no indication that they're going to community festivals and doing mass arrests of people.
Well,
so to your point, they're doing it to try to stick a knife in the side of St.
Right.
Louisans and get them angry so they'll turn their anger toward the Trump administration.
Exactly.
For enforcing
because
the law.
Because it's very effective.
Yes.
Because it's this toxic empathy. The statement that came out from the International Institute said this difficult decision comes in direct response to recent and unprecedented actions by the federal administration that have halted key immigration programs, including refugee reception and placement, and cast uncertainty over the release of funding for all other federal funding for our programs. Keep in mind here, the key there is casts uncertainty. I completely understand. You have uncertainty with the stock market, and we see it do all kinds of crazy things. It will drop. It did drop after Trump announced these tariffs because there's uncertainty, but it goes back up. My point in saying all this is that, sure, I totally get that there's uncertainty, but the point is it hasn't specifically happened yet. So you're making this rash decision by temporarily furloughing more than 60% of your staff when it hasn't even fully affected you yet. Your funding hasn't been pulled yet. There's concern about that happening for them, but it hasn't happened. So why would you do that to these people if they have families and you're trying to support them?
Yeah.
Over something that hasn't happened yet?
I agree. The front page of the Post today, this is the article. Attendance drops, unease rises at international school program in St. Louis County. And they interview a girl named Yabeli Lopez, who was overwhelmed when she got to the United States from her home in Honduras. She couldn't speak the language, blah, 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 blah. Never mentions in there that she must have been here illegally. Like, it doesn't mention that or what her status is now.
Right. Or her parents came over here illegally and maybe she was born here. But again, it's this empathy thing.
Yeah,
we as humans, especially women, we are so targeted by these sappy stories they put out because it's so much easier for us, for whatever reason, just the way God made us, to be empathetic. And do not let it get toxic. People are dying at the hands of these illegals. It doesn't mean these illegals are all bad, but
no,
they committed a crime by coming into our country illegally. And it's completely fair to send them back where they came from, and come back the right way.
If you don't have a sovereign border, you are not a country. That's the end of the day. That's exactly what it is. Hey, there's a big rally coming up to slash the income tax in Missouri. We'll talk about it coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.